Our third study in the Gospel of Mark takes up chapter 4, in which Mark gives us some of our Lord's parables and ends with the miracle of the Lord stilling the storm. He does not give the entire list of 7 parables given by Matthew, but in common with both Matthew and Luke, he gives a full account of the first one, including Christ's explanation of it. Mark also adds one not given in either Matthew or Luke. The move to the seaside to give these parables is taken by some as symbolic of the fact that the teaching involved implies a new work of God going beyond Israel, which would spread throughout the Gentile nations. A sower went forth to sow. Now the first of these parables seems to have been basic to the rest. Verse 13 says, "Know ye not this parable? How then will ye know all parables?" While the church did not then exist, the Lord seems to be paving the way for it. He speaks of the sower, the seed, and the soil. In the parable of the wheat and the tares, in Matthew 13, the Lord Jesus identifies the sower as the Son of Man. But in the parable of the sower and the seed, this identification is not made, and the wording would imply that all are included who sow the seed at any time. This corresponds with Hebrews 2:3, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Now the seed is the word of God, Luke 8:11. The main thrust of this parable seems to be to expose the different kinds of soil on which the seed fell, portraying the various states of people who hear the ministry of the word of God and giving their reaction to it. It is interesting that in Mark 4:10, we're told that when he was alone, the disciples asked him about the parable, and verse 34 says, "When they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples." This indicates that if we're to enter into the depths of the truth of God, it will require much time spent alone with him. Perhaps this is one of the great weaknesses of our rushed culture. We have little time to spend in quiet communion with God. Also, in each of the Gospels, the Lord Jesus introduces his explanation of the parables with a reference to Isaiah 6, where God pronounced the judgment on Israel, that they would hear but not understand, and see but not perceive. This shows that to apprehend the truths of God effectively, we must be taught by him. Israel, by unbelief and disobedience, had reached a state where the truth of God was not perceived. Now, the same requirements for blessing apply today. The different kinds of soil represent those who heard the word, and the meaning is fairly obvious, but the Lord explains in detail. Some of the implied truths are discussed by the author of our notes on page 2 of Lesson 3 in the study book. The wayside represents ground hardened by the pressure of many feet following the same trail. It could be taken to represent those whose lives are so governed by the routines of life that their hearts and minds are not open to God's word. In such cases, Satan has ways of diverting one's attention so completely that the word is lost to them, as when the birds carry it away. The word spoken will not penetrate unless there is a willingness to hear. The rocky ground had only a shallow covering of earth, so that even though the seed was received, it could not take root. This may represent the kind of message which fails to enter the person's thinking to give a consciousness of sin. The heart remains hardened to God, while the appeal of the blessings of the gospel seems to be brightly received, and when trial or persecution comes, such a person has no depth of conviction to hold him true to Christ, and he falls away. It's clearly stated more than once that such a person has no root in himself. It is not a case of becoming saved and later being lost. In the third case, it is open to question whether here again we have unconverted professors of faith in Christ, or whether these are true believers whose lives are more or less barren. Now, this possibility seems implied in Luke 8:14, they bring no fruit to perfection. In any case, it is an unenviable experience, far below the holy privilege of living fruitfully for God, with the possibility of one's never having been saved at all. The good ground represents those who are truly saved and whose lives do bear fruit for God, although, as the notes point out, even these vary in degree. Luke says they brought forth 100-fold, but Matthew says some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Mark reverses the order and says some 30, some 60, some 100. It has been suggested that perhaps Matthew's record implies a decreasing amount of fruit as the dispensation progresses, while Mark's record may imply the possibility of an increasing amount of fruit in one's personal experience. Undoubtedly, the Holy Spirit had some purpose in view in reversing the order of the proportion. If the foregoing suggestion has any validity, it would indicate that we can be individually fruitful to God, even in a condition where those around may not be so. The next section of this chapter, verses 21 to 25, shows the responsibility of those who hear the word of God. Putting a light under a bushel basket suggests allowing our testimony for Christ to be obscured by giving ourselves to earthly business, even though this be conducted honestly. Putting it under a bed implies allowing our love of ease and pleasure to rob us of the joy of being a light-bearer for Christ. Verse 22 indicates that our motives and circumstances are known to God and will be revealed in a coming day. And then it goes on to urge the importance of giving heed to these things. Mark says, take heed what ye hear. Luke says, take heed how ye hear. Both are important. We're not to entertain false teaching, Proverbs 19:27. But we should diligently seek to learn God's will from His Word in communion with Him in prayer. As such effort will be rewarded by growth in fruitfulness, while lack of it will result in spiritual declension and the loss of things previously acquired. Verses 26 to 29 give us a parable found only in Mark. It's a homely illustration from nature itself of the fact that whatever we sow bears a harvest. The earth brings forth fruit of itself. It has been suggested that we sow a thought, we reap an act. We sow an act, we reap a habit. We sow a habit and reap a character. We sow a character and reap a destiny. Now, this applies to things both good and bad. It's a reminder that life results in consequences. There are responsibilities which cannot be avoided. The interpretations that are given in the notes will expand our thinking with regard to these things. I take it that the statement about putting in the sickle in verse 29 is simply to say that whenever the harvest is mature, there will be a reaping. And then Mark gives the parable of the mustard seed, which grows into a great tree. It seems implied that this was an anomalous growth beyond the nature of the plant. The notes of our lesson explain that this may well represent the experience of the church being embraced by Constantine, which event resulted in the alteration of the position of the church in the world. From being a persecuted minority, witnessing to the predicted judgment of God on the world, they came to share in its favor, and in time even became dispensers of the favors of the world to their followers. Now, if the birds of the air are to be interpreted as in the first parable, it would indicate that the followers of Satan had found lodgment within the membership of the church, and the history seems to bear this out. The author of our notes calls attention to the words, "as they were able to bear it." One is reminded of the account in Genesis 33 of Jacob's meeting with Esau. Jacob said, "If men should overdrive them one day, all the flock will die." Now, his motive may have been hypocritical, and he may have exaggerated the harmful results, but the underlying principle is true. And he goes on to say, "I will lead on softly, according as the cattle that goeth before me and the children are able to bear." The cattle were in the forefront of his entourage geographically, but the welfare of our children is always more important than that of our cattle or any material consideration. So we cannot afford to overdrive anyone. The incident of Christ killing the storm conveys many lessons, including, as the lesson notes state, evidence of both the humanity and the deity of the Lord Jesus. These truths are basic to Christianity, and we're also encouraged to believe that when the Lord said, "Let us go over to the other side," no power of Satan can alter this. It's good in time of trouble to remind ourselves that God did not bring us to the point we have reached to let us sink there. He will see us through. In one sense, it can be believed that Satan raised the storm since the Lord Jesus rebuked the wind, so that we see Christ is not only master of nature, but he is superior to the power of Satan. We need to be concerned about Satan's power opposing the work of the Lord, but we need not fear that the purposes of God will be frustrated. We can do that, so far as we're concerned, by unbelief and disobedience, and in that case, God will choose another vessel for the fulfillment of his will. He will not be frustrated or defeated. But if we're obedient to the will of God, as best we understand it, and are seeking to learn his will through prayer and study of his word, no power of Satan can prevent God from fulfilling his purposes in and through us. It's interesting that at the Lord's word there came a great calm, where just before there had been a mighty raging wind. Now, a seldom noticed fact, because of the chapter division, is that the purpose of our Lord's trip with his disciples seems to have been solely the salvation of the demoniacs on the other side of the lake. He crossed over, he delivered these men, Matthew says there were two of them, and then immediately came back for the healing of the woman and the raising of the daughter of Jairus. These movements of our Lord show the importance of our lives being divinely guided, and there's also a sequence in the spiritual significance of the miracles, and we shall see this in the next chapter.